Chinese investors take another bite out of U.S. aviation. HAI is back in user fee fight mode. And EASA takes the shackles off flight design. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, January 17, 2011. Grone Brothers Aviation, based in Salt Lake City, Utah, is part of the latest headline involving a Chinese investment in U.S. aviation. In a news release dated Saturday, a deal that had been the subject of rumors in the gyroplane community was confirmed. Grone Brothers has formed a wholly owned subsidiary called Grone Brothers Aviation International, LLC, for the specific purpose of entering a cooperative joint venture with China's Guangzhou Suntrans Aviation Science and Technology Company Limited. Terms of the agreement call for GBA to transfer the Sparrowhawk kit gyroplane program and certain advanced gyroplane technology in exchange for 25% of the shares, valued at the equivalent of about $3.67 million U.S. dollars. Suntrans will contribute $11 million cash and hold the other 75% of the shares. The new joint venture will be called Foshan Suntrans Grone Aviation Company Limited, or just FSG Aviation. The start of operations is awaiting only a green light from Chinese regulators. Grone Brothers Aviation has kept the lights on, but not a whole lot more, in the last couple of years. The company, whose stock trades on the pink sheets and was valued at 3 cents per share at Friday's market close, made exciting news when it interested DARPA in its heliplane technologies in late 2005. But partner Adam Aircraft went bankrupt. Other delays followed. And by May of 2008, GBA announced it was laying off two-thirds of its workforce and discontinued production of the Sparrowhawk 3 two-place gyroplane kit. Existing owners have been reasonably well supported from parts in stock in the years since, but this new deal may ease some worries in that area. GBA says the deal is expected to result in the reintroduction of the Sparrowhawk in the U.S. market, quote, followed over the next few years by a fully assembled light gyroplane using technology transferred by GBA, unquote. It's not clear when a factory-assembled gyroplane could be sold in the U.S. market. Currently, the FAA does not allow the sale of factory-built gyros as light sport aircraft, although a few manufacturers plan to continue that conversation with the FAA this week at Sebring. In any case, the Sparrowhawk was a little on the portly side to claim a 1,320-pound gross weight. GBA advertised 1,500 pounds in the official specs. There hasn't been a standard airworthiness certificate issued for a gyroplane by the FAA since the 1960s, and manufacturers have found the niche too small to justify the funding necessary to pursue one. As a result, with the exception of a few museum pieces, the entire U.S. gyroplane fleet consists of experimentals. At the time the Sparrowhawk program was put up for sale by GBA back in 2008, it was thought it might bring $2 million to help get the company's DARPA work back on track. The $11 million deal with Suntrans, which includes certain advanced gyroplane technology, suggests that this involves the sale not only of a small aircraft program, but part of the Grone Brothers' larger dream. Helicopter Association International is urging its members to contact their members of Congress and ask them to sign on to a letter written by two members of the House Aviation Subcommittee to President Obama, opposing the addition of aviation user fees to the forthcoming 2012 federal budget proposal. The letter was written by Representatives Thomas Petri, a Wisconsin Republican, and Jerry Costello, like Obama, an Illinois Democrat. HAI advises that if your congressman is a Republican, put him in touch with Petri's office. If you're represented by a Democrat, have him contact Costello's office to sign on to the letter. When you call, identify your district and how your business or general aviation activities contribute to the economy and enhance the overall health of your district and state. Flight Design, the builder of the popular CT series of light sport aircraft, has earned design organization approval from EASA. The approval allows the company to pursue type certification for non-complex aircraft up to 2,640 pounds max takeoff weight with EASA. Flight Design may now conduct the type investigation for a new aircraft certification without further checking by EASA, which it will use in the previously announced development of the CTLS ELA, a new four-place aircraft based on its LSAs. Flight Design CEO Matthias Betsch praised the work of the regulators, quote, we have again learned EASA is working in a dedicated manner and is clearly results-oriented, unquote. Up next on ANN, Stanford University and IATA partner on distance learning. Sky Vision Extreme is ready for ADS-B. And the state of Maryland files suit over ATC shortcomings. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 17th. I'm Paul Plack. The Stanford Center for Professional Development and the International Air Transport Association signed an agreement Friday to develop and deliver a distance learning aviation management program. IATA is an international trade body representing 230 airlines and will deliver the aviation component of the program. SCPD, the professional development arm of the Stanford School of Engineering, will deliver the management component. Upon completion of the 6 required courses, students will be awarded a Stanford IATA Aviation Management Certificate and will automatically be registered with IATA as a certified aviation management professional. Whether the FAA is ready or not, parts of next-gen ATC are reaching the shrink-wrap stage. A new ADS-B traffic and weather display with 3D traffic, subscription-free weather, and control inputs for the Universal Access Transceiver has been introduced by SkyVision Extreme. The Extreme Vision Display system collects and displays all information provided by ADS-B, including highly accurate traffic in patent-pending 3D mode and the 2D top view that traditional traffic displays use. The 3D traffic display requires only a glance to discern traffic proximity, direction of travel, and relative altitude. If the traffic is ADS-B equipped, it will also visually display whether it's a large or small aircraft, an airship, rotorcraft, or ground vehicle. Human voice audio alerts call out traffic threats with distance, direction, and altitude. Extreme Vision is also the first ADS-B display to offer pilots all weather products provided via ADS-B. These include regional and nationwide NEXRAD, METARs, TAFs, SIGMETs, PIREPs, NOTAMs, TFRs, and wind and temperature aloft. MSRP for the display is about $1,000 U.S. Maryland officials have filed suit against the federal government over an accident involving a state police helicopter in which 4 people were fatally injured. In its probable cause report, the NTSB said that air traffic control was a contributing factor. The board ruled the probable cause was the pilot's attempt to regain visual conditions by performing a rapid descent and his failure to arrest that descent at the minimum descent altitude during a non-precision approach. Other contributing factors were the pilot's limited recent instrument flight experience, the lack of adherence to effective risk management procedures by the Maryland State Police, the pilot's inadequate assessment of the weather, and increased workload on the pilot due to ATC shortcomings. The NTSB findings, of course, are not admissible as evidence in court. The Washington Post reports the lawsuit holds that controllers did not provide adequate weather information to the pilot. A similar lawsuit filed by the only survivor of the accident is seeking $50 million in damages. IDGA, the Institute for Defense and Government Advancement, plans to hold a UAV summit April 11th through the 14th in the Washington, D.C. area. Members from every service, the Coast Guard and Border Patrol, and acquisition are expected to convene to discuss and evaluate the current and future state of UAV technology and development through the U.S. military. IDGA's 7th Annual UAV Summit will deliver a comprehensive overview of new requirements, emerging policies, latest programs, and acquisition efforts for the UAV industry. Program Director Nick Petty commented, quote, "With recent developments like an additional $70 billion allocated over the next 5 years, and the Air Force discussing moving exclusively to UAVs for sixth-generation fighters, UAVs are becoming a critical asset of the entire U.S. military," unquote. Find a list of notable participants in the text version of this story, dated January 15th, at aero-news.net. Still ahead, NASA invites high school experimenters to the edge of space. EAA says the Night Air Show will be back this year at Oshkosh. And who is Fred and what are his sheep doing at an aviation show? You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, January 17th. I'm Paul Plack. NASA is inviting student teams to design and build experiments the agency will fly to more than 100,000 feet. NASA's second annual Balloon Sat High Altitude Flight Competition is open to student teams in 9th through 12th grades from the U.S. and its territories. Each team of four or more students must submit an experiment proposal to NASA's Glenn Research Center in Cleveland by Friday, February 11th. A wide range of topics will be considered, from bacteria studies to weather observations. A panel of NASA engineers and scientists will evaluate the submissions based on mission objectives, technical planning, and team organization. The top eight proposals will be announced on March 4th. The top four teams will receive up to $1,000 to develop their flight experiments and travel to Glenn Research Center May 18th through the 20th. The other four teams also will receive up to $1,000 to develop their experiments, but will participate via the Internet the week of May 23rd. The Experimental Aircraft Association has learned what many independent air shows around the U.S. have learned in the last few years. Night air shows are fun. Following last summer's successful debut, the Night Air Show and Fireworks with the Wall of Fire will return on Saturday, July 30th to light up the sky on the final evening at AirVenture Oshkosh 2011. The AeroShell Aerobatic Team and T-6s, Bob Carlton in a jet sailplane, Gene Susie in his Showcat, Matt Yonkin in his Twin Beach, and Steve Oliver in a Chipmunk are all scheduled to perform routines choreographed to pyrotechnics and music. Following the night show, performers will be available for a meet and greet alongside their aircraft. Let's hope that wall of fire kills off some mosquitoes. And finally today, listener email. There's this city in Germany that hosts a big aviation trade show, and apparently I've been mispronouncing it. For those of you who note I have a German last name, this may come as a shock, but I don't speak German. Listener Tony Kinsley in England apparently has really been bothered by this, but for whatever reason chose not to email me direct, so I got this forwarded from Jim Campbell, to whom the complaint was directed. Quote, "I can't stand it any longer. I understand that Americans struggle with pronunciation of foreign words, and most English ones, but please, please get it right. It's pronounced Friedrichshafen. There's no sh anywhere in there. If you require guidance on pronunciation of non-English or English words prior to broadcast, please let me know. Apart from that, the podcast is superb. Best regards, Tony Kinsley," unquote. First off, Tony, thanks for listening and for the generally good review. Sorry if we've caused you any excess stomach acid. I have a friend, Ralph, who spent his childhood in Germany and speaks German, so I asked him about this yesterday. He told me that it is indeed Friedrichshafen, and that Friedrichshafen, as I've been saying it, might be translated by German listeners as meaning Frederick's sheep, which of course would be deeply confusing as a venue for an aviation trade show. Any German listeners who speak English, please accept my deepest apologies. As for asking a Brit for advice on speaking German, I think I'll save a day's delay and keep doing what I always do, call City Hall and see how they answer the phone. It just never occurred to me I might have this one wrong. Keep listening, Tony. Feel free to email me direct to paulp@aero-news.net. Maybe someday we can have a lively exchange about aluminium. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves tells us why if we're accumulating ice, we better keep the speed up. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.